lots of cables there. Put this one on too. Good. Let's pray together as we begin. Lord, we ask that as we look into your word now, that you will have something for us, and something that will speak to our hearts, and that will show us what you want us to do, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Is this on? Is it on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I was preparing this mainly on Friday, and I was thinking, you know, it's a psalm, but God actually does want to say something to us. You know, he wants us to hear something. That's my prayer this morning. But let me begin by telling you a bit of a story. And I remember several years ago, I was driving back from Teze in France, coming up to Paris. And I was in on my own in an old Austin Montego. And this was the days before sat-navs and things, and I'd looked at a map, and I'd planned to go into Paris and then round the inner circular road and then get the motorway going north. And it was all going well, and I got onto the south the circular, and I got up, and I knew the exit I needed to come off at, and I came off at the exit, and as I came off it said road closed. And I thought, I really don't know what to do. And I remember very distinctly praying, saying, Lord, I need you to help me get on the right road. And I drove for maybe a mile or two and completely lost. And then right in front of me was a big sign, a big green French sign saying Calais. And I was back on the motorway. And I was very happy. And I believed that God answered my prayer. I really do. And got me on the right road there. And we often ask for blessing. Maybe that God will bless our health, or he'll bless our marriages, or we pray that God will bless our finances, or our jobs, or our children. You know, we pray God will bless our studies, and that's all good. We even, you know, when we sneeze, we even say God bless, don't we? You know, it's everywhere. And that's how Psalm 67 begins. It's a prayer for blessing. And it begins like this. We read it. It said, may God be gracious to us and bless us. That's a lovely thing. It's a prayer. It's based on the blessing that God gave for Aaron to say to the peoples of Israel. It's part of a longer thing. We can read it in Numbers 6, and we know it. We sometimes sing. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face to you and give you peace. It's a very beautiful blessing. It conjures up for me the picture of a parent looking at a child or a baby and turning their face to them full of joy, full of happiness, and being pleased and gracious. A sense of intimacy. And we probably all pray that for our children, haven't we? I've still got children young enough to pray that for them as they go to bed or they go off to school. You know, God bless you and protect you and be with you. And that's a very lovely thing to pray there. And if we look right at the end of the psalm, we get to verse 6. It says, the land will yield its harvest and God our God will bless us. You know, a real demonstration of God's blessing on Israel. You know, we live with supermarkets and we live with freezers and we can get food at any time. But a land yielding its harvest in a hot country was a sense of God's blessing. He sent the rain, he'd sent the sunshine, and at the end of it, there's grapes and there's olives and there's wheat. God has blessed them. And a very lovely thing, pointing to the greater blessing of God's presence. And if the psalm ended there, that would be very nice. God has blessed his people, we've got a harvest, we're happy, and that's it. But actually, it doesn't end there. The psalm is just beginning. Because if we read in verse 2, sometimes this is called the missionary psalm, the psalm begins to take off at a very different angle. It says, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. I'm going to see if I can put the psalm up on here. It might do, and it might not. This thing sometimes works and sometimes it doesn't. Let me just try. The psalm is there. If you look through, and I've underlined it in the text, how many times the psalm mentions peoples or nations or the earth. Suddenly Israel is in the background, and the peoples of the world come into focus. And you can see there in verses 3 and 5. May the peoples praise you, O God. Verse 4, may the nations be glad and sing for joy. Verse 7, it says, God will bless us and the ends of the earth, all the world will fear him. And it's not just about blessing Israel. God wants all the people of the world, all the ethnic groups, that's what he's talking about here, to know him and to praise him. And that's the vision that came when we read right in Genesis chapter 12, the vision that, or the agreement God made with Abraham in chapter 12, when Israel started out as a nation. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That was God's plan to Abraham. And if you get right to the other end of the Bible and get to Revelation and chapter 7, this is kind of the vision, the future vision of God. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb, and they were wearing white robes and holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. So it starts there and it kind of ends there. God's blessing to the people. And, you know, we live here, or we worship here in a multi-ethnic community. We're surrounded by different people, not just from Romania, but actually different ethnic groups from within Romania. We're surrounded by people from Pakistan and Asia and Africa. The world is on our doorstep. God wants people from all these nations to know him. Not just the people of God, the Israel in that time. And, you know, that's why we're praying. Some of you had a letter. We're praying about, should we employ Jungju to reach out to some of these people? You know, why shouldn't the ladies that live here from a Kashmiri, Pakistani background also be among the people that come to know God? Why shouldn't they too hear about his salvation? So that's a little bit of the introduction. That's kind of where we're going. What is it that God, the psalmist, wants the nations to know about God? You know, God, all the earth, the psalmist says, needs to know God. But what is it? Just a few things. Verse 2, it says this. It says, so that your ways may be known on earth. Your ways may be known on earth. You might remember a song by Frank Sinatra called I'll Do It My Way. Some people love that song. My parents really didn't like that song at all. But, you know, he did it his way. Very often we do it our way. And it's quite interesting watching people doing work. I love watching people, the way people work, if they're doing a good job. Just seeing the way they do it, they're skilled. There's a story of somebody called Jane Destin, who was the great-grandmother of the writer Oz Guinness. And she was a noblewoman. And her husband had been killed in a duel. She was desperate. She was thinking of taking her own life. And she was looking into the dark depths of a river. And for some reason, she saw a ploughman, a young ploughman, on the other bank. He was about her age. Quite oblivious to her and to anything but his work. He was meticulous and absorbed. He was skillful. He displayed such a pride in his work that the newly turned furrows looked as finely executed as if they were the paintings on a canvas. And Jane Destair, she was fascinated. And she was slowly drawn into the ploughman's pride. and her admiration turned to wonder. Then her wonder turned to rebuke that she could have the self-pity to leave her family. So she went back to her young children because she saw someone's ways, but God's ways, meticulous, skillful wisdom to create a world. We don't always understand God's ways in our lives. Isaiah said, as high as the heavens are as high than the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, God's ways sometimes are inscrutable, but we know God has given laws to govern the universe. He's given us good rules, laws to live by. God's extraordinary ways that he allows his son to die for us and for the world. Maybe you know God's ways, how he's dealt with you. It's good to share it, isn't it, sometimes? This is how God has dealt with me, what he's done in my life. But the psalmist wants the world to know the amazing ways of God. And then verse 2, the second part, he said he wants the world to know his salvation. Your salvation among all nations. Maybe he was looking back to Israel's history, how God rescued them from the Egyptians going through the Red Sea, how he rescued them as they went into the Promised Land, how he was with them when opposing armies attacked them. God's salvation, he led them out with miracles. For us, God's salvation, you know, we think of how Christ came and died for us to save us from ourselves and sin. The American evangelist Dwight Moody said this. He says, the grace of God has the power to bring salvation to all men. And many of us have a story too of how God has rescued us, and God has saved us, and God has brought us into his kingdom. And it's good to share that too. It encourages people. This is how God has done, has saved me. But the psalm doesn't stop there either. It kind of keeps taking off and taking off. And it's not just that the world should know him. That's great. But should also praise him and worship him. If we look at verses 3 and 4 in the psalm, it says, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. Amazing picture of praise and happiness across the globe. It's not something that we see, is it? We often see the opposite. But this is the vision of the psalmist. May the peoples of the earth praise God. It's what Habakkuk says. He says, the earth will be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. And, you know, it's something we need to learn, something I need to learn. You know, it's easy to get grumpy and say, you know, what a dismal mess. I was in a queue in Lidl yesterday, and the lady there who was buying the things was an elderly lady. She decided to pay for everything in small coins. You know what it's like? You get the wrong queue. Oh, I always get the wrong queue. And there was what do you call them? Supermarket trolleys, thank you, in front. And there she was, and she was going 5p, 6p, 10p. And the lady in front of me turned around and went, huh, like that. So I smiled at her, and everything was fine. But we get grumpy, can't we? And he says he wants the whole world to praise God, to be glad, to sing for joy. And he gives two reasons for it. Verse 4, first part, he says, because you rule the nations justly. Other versions say, with equity. You rule the peoples with equity or justly. I wonder if you've ever suffered an injustice. I wonder. You feel you've been badly done by, badly treated by someone at home or at work, in your family. And you wished it could be put right, but it can't. I remember at school, I went to a school in a place called Gedney Hill, a primary school, and we had a toilet block there, and we were told on pain of death that we shouldn't leave the taps running. And one afternoon, the teacher came into the class, I was probably 6 or 7, And he announced in a voice of doom, as teachers do, he said, "Someone left the taps running." And who was it? The boy next to me promptly put his hand up and he said, "It was Newton, sir." It's me, Paul Newton. "It was Newton, sir." I hadn't even been in the toilets. And the teacher looked at me and he says, "I can tell by people's faces." And he looked into my face and he said, "It was you, wasn't it? It wasn't me." There's nothing you can say. You know, I was in trouble. Maybe you've suffered an injustice. Maybe you've been treated badly. It's never been put right. The world is bowed down under unjust regimes. We see horrors in Syria and Sudan. But verse 4 says that the nations rejoice as they see the justice of God's rule, a rule that's without tyranny or partiality, a rule that is fair. And it's very interesting. Often as Christians, we see justice from the perspective of the accused. We, in a sense, are in the dock, and we're very, very pleased that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ, who's our defense lawyer, who says, "Listen, there's no charge against them." That's good news for us. But for a Jewish person, often for the psalmist, justice was seen from the perspective of the plaintiff. And they were longing for a time when God would judge and put things right. They longed for justice. The small man, the meek, the timid, the helpless people who'd never had their wrongs righted, it would all be put right. And that's the hope of the persistent widow in the Gospels. She's crying out for justice. In many countries, you can't get justice without a bribe. There's tyranny, not just from rulers. There's domestic tyranny. Tyranny because we don't play fair. And verse 4 looks forward to the day of judgment when wrongs will be righted and God is a champion who will rule with equity. That's a future hope and it's a thing they long for. Paul says it this way. He set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. And he's given proof of this by raising him from the dead. And the last point of why God and his goodness should be known across the world is in verse 4, the second part. He says, "You guide the nations of the earth." If you read it, it's there. "You guide the nations of the earth." The word used for guide here is the same word we see in Psalm 23 for the shepherd, where we say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He guides me beside." Guides me beside still waters on green pastures. That's the same word. It says God guides, he shepherds the nations of the earth. There's an awareness that the God of Israel is like a loving shepherd, guiding the nations in the way they should go as if they were sheep. God has a plan for the world. He's leading it somewhere. Even in these days of turmoil, when the nations actually don't always listen to God's guiding and the leaders of the world don't follow what God wants them to do. God wants to guide the nations of the earth. That's why Paul says, he spurs us on to pray. He says, "I urge you that requests, prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives." See, our prayers make a difference to the world. God guides the world like a shepherd. He guides us personally. Maybe you have a story of that too, of how God has guided you. So, in summary, this is a prayer for Israel. May God be gracious to us and bless us. But it's a prayer with a purpose. So that the love of God might be seen by all peoples, all nations, to the ends of the earth. His ways, his salvation, his justice, his compassion like a shepherd, his guidance. And the point is that the nations were watching very carefully. They were watching Israel. Israel was supposed to be a visual proof of God's existence. God is so good, he blesses them, so the nations would also want to worship that God. They didn't always do a good job. So Jesus came, as we know, living perfectly God's ways, bringing God's salvation. He was perfectly just. He was the good shepherd, and the world was watching him. And some followed, and some didn't. And the world is watching us, watching our church, watching our lives, to see if this is the kind of God they want to serve. And, you know, that's something we need to reflect on. But I wonder if there's something else here for us when I was thinking about this. You know, is there something else God wants to stir in our hearts here? And I wonder if we sometimes get stuck in verse 1. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Are we satisfied with that? You see, that was what happened to Israel. And if you read through Israel's history, in the end they became content that they were God's people. They were the chosen people. They had all they needed. They had the scriptures. They had the law. They had the land. That was it. We're God's people. And they forgot about the Samaritans. They forgot about the Gentiles. May God be gracious to us and bless us. And Jesus came and he reached out to the others. And I wonder, and I ask myself, do I get stuck in verse 1 and satisfied that, you know, I have salvation, I have the Bible to read, the church to come to, a career path? Maybe God wants to speak to us and say, actually, may God be gracious to us and bless us so that the world may see your ways and your salvation, your justice and your guidance. You know, may God is speaking to us and saying, maybe today he wants us to lay something down or take something up, take a step. So a world we live in that is longing for justice, looking for guidance, has lost its way and needs salvation, will also hear. And, you know, maybe that's a word for me or for someone this morning. So let's pray together as we end. Lord, thank you that you love all people, that you love us and long to bless us, that you long to bless the world as well. And so we pray that through us and through your church, your salvation will reach other people. Help us to know specifically what you want us to do so that that might happen. Amen.
God of the whole earth. And so let's turn to him and declare our faith in him using the word of the truth, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Please stand. Pray and stand.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Lord, giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Father.